Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, you're talking about that?
the Julio Cesar Chavez Brian Vera fight.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's I know Zito had called it early that he felt that Chavez was going to get outworked, which most ringside observers felt he did. Obviously, the judges saw something else. And, you know, it's a shame because after the whole weight fiasco, which Zito had a soapbox about last week, for you know, the judging to be rendered in that manner, where, you know, a good 80 to 90% of most ringside observers, press, as well as fans, felt that that Brian Vera was jobbed. You know, it's a shame that he had to go through that. And, you know, again, you know, Zito was just talking about B-sides to a promotion and how not only do they have to put up with whatever the A-side side negotiates, but they also have to put up a lot of times with that type of judging as well. So they don't get a fair shake before the fight. But then, you know, in an honorable sport, supposedly, they don't get a fair shake in the ring as well.
Right. Yeah, it makes a mockery of things, to be honest. I mean, people have eyes. People can judge for themselves. When you see the fight, one man is getting hit, throwing punches, and he might hit the other guy once in a while, kind of hard. But, I mean, he doesn't work. He just sits there and he what did he do to earn a win?
Right.
I mean, it's as simple as that.
You know, they said that he out-hit him by almost 60% and lost the round, according to her rounds. That just didn't make any sense at all. You know, the body blow off that, 80% of his shots were body blows.
And people want to see a guy train hard, go and perform hard. That's why people love Andre Ward. I mean, he's not the most popular, exciting boxer that's getting the money at the gate. But, I mean, Andre Ward, he dedicates himself to the sport. Floyd Mayweather dedicates himself to the sport. You can see these guys. Even, you know, you know that they're not going to come into the ring unprepared at all. And then you see, you know, Junior, Cesar Chavez Jr., and that, it just doesn't bode well. That doesn't bode well for the popularity of boxing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the funny thing, too, is even after the whole weight fiasco, you know, the fight was held in Carson, California, large Mexican population, obviously for the benefit of Chavez Jr. So even after the whole weight fiasco, Chavez was roundly applauded when he was announced and when he came out to fight. But after the fight, when the decision was rendered, all those same people booed. So it's like Chavez, through all his shenanigans, even lost some of his own fans to a certain extent.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get it twisted. When he's come into the ring, people have criticized the level of competition he's fought against, but he seemed well prepared and everything. It's just like recently, he's just stacking on pounds. He can't fit into the middleweight division. Now he wants to go to Superman. And now he's fighting two pounds below the lightweight division.
Right.
He looked big and he's big then. He looked big in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
So
did we lose him?
Zito?
Yeah,
I think we lost him. But again, you know, it was a bit of a travesty. And you know what? The funny thing is I was a Chavez fan. Again, that doesn't speak to his credibility, but I like the way the guy used to fight in the ring. And the fact that he had a pretty good chin. And part of it was that he was fighting guys that are naturally smaller than him. But he was a pressure fighter, you know, not quite like his dad, but a pressure fighter who would come forward, rip to the body, take his shots to give, you know, to, and would break guys down. But now, all of a sudden, because he's having these weight issues, he's become more of a move and pot shot kind of guy. He's not that defensively conscious to where he can do that fluently without getting hit or outworked. But that's what, you know, gave him the victory in, I assume, the judge's eyes, outside of corruption, was the fact that he landed the cleaner, bigger shots throughout the fight. And he's become, you know, somewhat able to do that more, but that's because he doesn't have the stamina to carry the fight to his opponent the way he used to. And so thus, he's not even as exciting a fighter as he used to be. Even with all the fiasco and stuff, he used to at least be an exciting fighter, even with the credibility issues. But now, he's not even an exciting fighter. So it's a shame. He has to have more discipline for his career. But really, you know, and this is something I never thought I'd say in spite of everyone else saying it, but he does act like an entitled spoiled brat at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And think about it. Two fights ago, he fought Andy Lee, was it?
Mm-hmm.
And he looked impressive to me then. Two fights ago. And the drop ball from that to now is extremely incredible, negatively incredible. But, I mean, he gets decisions. He last fight, he fights only in the 12th round successfully, but he only fights in the 12th. Those are performances that's going to lose the money. Especially American fans, I think, more than American fans, demand more out of their boxes, demand more heart, more determination. And Chavez is displaying that quite at this moment.
Hey, Butch.
Yeah.
Are we scheduled to have Dr. Chris on tonight?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm real curious. All right, cool. I'm real curious to ask him. We were talking about the decisions, and you know, it's always been bad, but obviously we've had a string of really bad decisions and pretty high-profile fights. I'm kind of curious, and of course Dr. Chris would have a story as to why, but I'm kind of curious they you know, moved away from newspaper decisions as also playing a part of it. I'm just wondering why that was changed. Obviously, the thought would be that the judges were impartial, but, you know, obviously a middle-income individual is a little easier to get to than the press as far as corruption, I would imagine. So I'm just kind of curious as to why that is. Typically, whenever fights like this, you know, have decisions like that, they always pull the ringside press, and ten times out of ten, the ringside press typically agrees with the general viewing public. So, like, basically everyone believed, all the writers believed that Brian Vera won the fight. Most people we've talked to believe that Brian Vera won the fight. It seems like the only people who didn't believe he won the fight were the judges. Same with the Floyd Mayweather fight, where the only person who thought Canelo even gave a great account of himself was that one judge. So it's something going on where everyone can see one thing one way, but this one person sees it completely different. You know, it's something going on. But at the same time, could the press be trusted to judge fights? Is there a different way that can be judged? And why did we move away from the press? I'd be really curious to, you know, to hear Dr. Chris's response to that.
Yeah.
I can tell you a group of people.
He was hitting balls 20 minutes ago when I talked to him, and he said he'd be home by 6:30. So I'm going to go over here and go off the air for just a second and get Edner on. But I'd be interested to hear what you guys think about we'll come back to that, but the Klitschko fight.
Zito had a lot to say about that. Zito already had a lot.
He had a taste in the first round, and then it just drug on till the sixth round. He even got knocked down three different times.
Well, yeah, he actually went down four times. But man, that was. I will actually defer to Zito on that fight. We were watching the fight together, and boy. Zito initially said, "I have to talk about that fight on the air." So,
yeah. To be honest, I never saw a guy so willing to sign a contract and get in the ring, so scared. I'm going to put the word scared out there. So scared to get touched by a glove. I mean, and I'm talking about the winner, Klitschko. I'm talking about the winner. I'll tell you what, if Klitschko was 6 foot. Five, with half a shorter reach advantage than he has now, he wouldn't be good. He wouldn't be as good as he is now. I don't want to. Well, to be honest, the performance I saw from him is not one of a boxer. It's one of a sports player.
Wow.
It's one that you know. The object of boxing is to hit and not get hit back.
Right.
But when you grab a guy, every time you throw a punch, and your punch is meant to either hit him or to loop around them so you can grab them, and you do that every single punch, and it's grab, and the ref break, and you don't get a point taken away?
Yeah.
You only get one warning during the fight? That doesn't show championship quality to me at all. You're not even judge a counterpunch. I mean, now, what I'm saying is he has the skill to be that champion. and he's, and apparently, I'm gonna say it like this: he's fighting the right guys. Because boy, oh boy, a guy that's in shape that knows how to move his head a little bit, he's gonna give him problems. He's gonna fight him. He can't win a fight. He can win a sports competition. He can win a fencing match. He can't win a fight. simple as that.
Fencing match.
Can win a wrestling match. Can't win a fight.
Let me ask you this, though. How much of that is attributed to Vladimir Klitschko's reluctant warriorness, and how much of that could have been attributed to the fact that he's 37 years old? Maybe his reflexes are slowing down a little bit, so he has to rely on some natural things to get him by a little bit. What do you think?
His reflexes look absolutely sharp when he went to grab. He grabbed them quick as ever. I mean, when he did throw his punches did look sharp. But, of course, you're not going to hit all the time. So when he missed, right. It's like he'll grab, he'll lean down on Povetkin, I'm sorry. He'll lean down on Povetkin, so he'll just keep draining him by grabbing, leaning on him.
And
he doesn't do inside fighting.
No.
I mean, he does not do – he does either 1-2, that's his only two punches. My fault, he throws the left hook off the jab. He has a three-punch arsenal, and he grabs. And he's not getting warned or a point taken away. I have a lot to deal with the officiating about that.
I agree.
And the judging. I mean, listen, I can't give rounds to a guy who, if he throws, he'll miss and grab.
Right.
Granted, Klitschko was winning rounds by hitting Povetkin, but, I mean, just that work, I can't. That's real unimpressive to me, extremely unimpressive.
I hate to interrupt you, but we have a guy on the line here who has been a true friend of us for our family for a long time, and has really been a tremendous fighter, has gone through some tremendous things in his own life off the boxing match and out of the boxing realm, out of the eyes of everybody, and has suffered a major blows time to time, but still comes back on top, still comes back with a smile on his face, still comes back with all the heart that he ever had, and is probably one of the finest fighters that come out of the Florida area in a while, Mr. Edner Cherry.
Yeah,
Edner, how you doing?
Doing good, doing pretty good. Just keep my head above water.
Uh-huh. Well,
Cherry Bomb, nice to have you back on, my friend.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much.
Now, I'm going to ask my first question, which is, how's Elizabeth doing?
Right. My wife is doing wonderful. She's doing great after that procedure she have done. But she's still having like a little, like the heart still, bothering her just a little bit. But after that, she's doing great. She's doing wonderful. And we just hope that, hoping a better healthy life for her.
And how's that beautiful little girl yours?
Oh man, she's doing great. She's a handful. She's doing wonderful, and she's getting big. She's 12 years old now, and she's recovering real well after her second heart open heart surgery.
Good.
And she's doing wonderful. We love her to death every day.
Yeah. And did EJ win today?
No, matter of fact, they didn't play. They were supposed to play, somewhere in Manatee or Palmetto.
The Trojans. That's right.
Like
they moved it out there, but they didn't show up?
Yeah, they had canceled it because of the shooting going on.
Right.
And, like, the parents didn't want to take the kids and,
Right. So
they just canceled the show. I mean, canceled the game.
Yeah. Okay, well. I know that Z wanted to talk to you because he missed you the last time we had you on. So, Z, go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Hey, Evan, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
First thing I want to say is I wish your wife a speedy recovery and that everything's fine.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
What are you planning to do next?
Right now, we're just waiting for a fight. Matter of fact, we just got out of a contract with the promoter Eight Count Promotion up in Chicago. And that was something that we was fighting about, to try to get out. and because they wasn't doing right by me, you know. And they promised me like so many fights a year, and they didn't hold up to their agreement, and they like leaving me in the middle, you know, just leave me in the dark, you know, without getting no fight. So I'm glad that I'm out, so that my manager is talking to some other promoters, you know, try to get one more fight this year before this year out. And that's it. Just training, just waiting for a call.
Great. Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here.
I just make sure you're there.
Great. Yeah, I'm here.
So you're out of one promotion. Is anybody locally going to handle you?
Oh, right now, I know my manager is talking to some other promoters. They are interested, but like we want to just make sure that we make the right move again, and we wanted to jump into something, and you know, that's it. And you know, I'm just ready to fight. Yeah, I don't care if a promoter don't promote me. Hey, I could fight their guys. I don't care. You understand? So that's what kind of fighter that I am. You understand? I want to go back in the, you know, in the old days, you know, when Ali and all of you, know what I'm saying, they just fight. You know what I'm saying? But if you think you're the best, let's fight. But now these days, it's like, man, hey, I don't want to fight him, but I want to fight this guy who I think I could beat. Nah, this fight would be rough for me. But this what kind of generation we in right now. It's like they hand picking these fights. Then when they do get into real fight, and they just crumble. And you know, I just came up the hard way, train hard because I don't have anyone to hand, to hand pick my fight. So I just have to go in there and just go ahead and do what I got to do. So,
hey, Edna, this is Todd. With everything you just said being stated, let me ask you this. Again, you've been one of those guys who didn't handpick your fights, and it's been stated. You definitely have come up the hard way, you know, again, giving up, really coming up, you know, 10 pounds to fight Tim Bradley, for instance.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that also, it not only does it go along with management and you know people having the management that can create handpicked opportunities, but it also goes along with mentality. You have the mentality to take those challenges. With that being said, do you find yourself at this point in time in your career, even though you still may have the mentality to take those challenges, are you at the point now where it's like, look, I'm not going to put myself in that position now. I'm not going to go up and fight someone 10 pounds above my weight? Or do you feel that it's still necessary for you to maybe give up those advantages to make fights happen?
No, sir. That's something that I won't do again. And, you know, like when you go through something and you learn, it's like, you know what, I'm not ever going to do that again. When I first started, I started at 135 pounds. Well, now I'm at 130 pounds fighting. So it don't make no sense that I'm fighting at 140. You know, I fought Timothy Bradley at 140. I fought Pauly Malignaggi at 140. And, you know, I fell short. And, you know, my recent losses, like, came in early in my career. So, no, I won't make that decision again. And I think this time we have a smart team behind us, and we'll make the right decision, you know, to become a world champion. I should have a world title wrapped around my waist, but I think of lack of management, lack of, you know, just getting the fight. I think they're just looking at the money, but I think this time we're looking at championship, and you know, one thing, you get that belt wrapped around your waist, and you know, that's your ticket out. You know, you know, that's when you will get the big fights, and you know, you could call this person, that person. You know, that's what we're waiting for. But you know, 130, like the biggest class I'll probably go to is 135, where I used to fight at. But now I'm fighting at 130, which is great for me. But if I have to fight at 135 and go up 5 pounds, it doesn't matter. I'll do that. But at the same time, I'll be smart about it when I'm moving up to 135, 140. They won't see me again.
Edna, as you know, Mikey Garcia has signed the fight. Roman Martinez. Who do you like in that fight? And obviously the winner's going to look to go on to bigger and better things, but could you possibly be in line for the loser of that fight who may be looking for a name to rebuild upon, who they think they can get a win from because he has a couple losses at the elite level?
You know what? I would love – matter of fact, you know what? I would love to fight the winner of that fight. You know, I think Garcia probably pull it out.
Oh, you think so? Okay. I said you think he'll pull it out based on what do you think gives Garcia the advantage in that fight personally?
Go ahead. Yeah, like I'll say Mikey Garcia, he's a better sound boxer, technique, and
I agree.
You know, like the last fight that I've seen when he fought
Toledo?
Lopez. Yeah, but you know that didn't really, you know what I'm saying, but I think he will pull it out. So, you know what I'm saying? So it will be a good fight. Anything can happen, but for me, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? It would be better if I fight the winner. I would love to fight Garcia because that's a perfect fight. I think Garcia never been with a true puncher, like with a true fighter that could bang and, you know, just like, hey, you know what, you hit me, I will hit you back. Let's slug it out. If you're ready to slug it out, let's do it because I'm in my right class. I'm strong at 130 pounds, and you know, some of these guys they don't really want to want to fight. Because even Timothy Bradley will, like, tell you, because after the fight, even Timothy Bradley told me, hey, man, you know what I'm saying? I didn't want to take no chances. And because you did, because see, when I fought Timothy Bradley, you know, he wasn't standing there want to fight. He was moving, even with Timothy Bradley, even with my last fight Exhibito. When I fought Exhibito, you know, even he told me the same thing. Hey, I knew you get hard, and that's why I didn't want to stand and take a chance. But you still got knocked out. But I think if I fight Garcia, he will think the same thing. Man, I don't want to take a chance to slug with them. I don't want to take that chance to stand in the pocket with them. See, then you know, but I don't care the winner or the loser. It doesn't matter. But you know, fighting the winner is the best way to go, you know?
Hey, you know, Edgar, I don't know if you saw Mikey's fight with Orlando Salido, who I think is a pretty, you know, good puncher. But Salido, who I thought, too, was kind of damaged goods. Even though he had stopped Wama twice, he had taken a lot of punishment in that fight, those fights himself. But what I noticed about that fight is, Mikey's a great counterpuncher. He really has established himself as a good counterpuncher. But what I noticed is that once Salido was able to start taking a shot and start avoiding it a little bit, not going down, and he started getting close to Mikey and touching on Mikey, Mikey looked very uncomfortable once the fight got inside. And for all his technique, I was pretty surprised at how ineffective he looked once Salido got close to him. Did you see a weakness there, or do you think it was just Salido's style?
I think I didn't see that fight because with my style, with my new trainer that I went with, like after I left for Star Fight, when I left with Peter Fernandez, you know, now you know I'm with Tony Morgan, you know, I find my strength, like, you know, standing in the pocket, putting pressure, you know, because for me, I'm not a typical, I could box, but, you know what I'm saying, at the same time being smart and pressure, get your hands going. And, you know, when you reach in the pocket, you start ripping your hard shots. And, you know, that's the same thing because, you know what I'm saying, I'm not the best perfect fighter in the world, but when I come in the ring, it's ready to fight. You know what I'm saying, let's fight, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, That's my game plan, is like putting pressure, wear you down, you know what I'm saying? Then when you start wearing down, hey, buddy, it's on, you know? So
if your game plan is pressure, what are you doing for conditioning? Because pressure guys, they thrive on conditioning, being able to throw a lot of punches.
You know what? Being honest, I know a lot of people hearing this, You know, like, they're like, man, that's crazy. You know what? Like, on the bag, being honest, I do 24 rounds on the bag.
Wow.
I do 12. Thursday. Thursday, I did 24 rounds. I did 12-round burnouts, 12-round non-punches, straight punches for 3 minutes for 12 rounds. Then the other 12 was just regular, you know what I'm saying? Because, like the reason why I do that, because my regular workout is like the speed drill will catch up to the one, like when I'm resting, like throwing 3 punches here, 4 punches here, but you know what I'm saying? Like the burnout will catch up the ones that I'm taking a break in between. You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, you get what I'm saying? So
you gotta let that adrenaline keep flowing. Yeah.
Yeah, but the regular workout is like, okay, Evan, you're busy. You're busy. But you know what I'm saying? But I don't actually count the 12 burnouts, but I just automatically count the like the 12 regular workout because now I'm tired. You know, my arm is like kind of old, you know. But I want to continue working since like it's the first round, you know, going into 12 rounds. So, you know, that's how I get my body ready. Then I do my cardio conditioning also, which is great. My running, I'm saying I just don't just do the boxing on the bag. I also do my cardio workout, my conditioning. And, you know, sometimes I mix them. Sometimes I will do like 50 minutes of cardio, you know, conditioning. Like, you know, it'd be like a minute each thing that I does, but like it's a constantly going workout every minute. Like 1 minute I will change it, well next minute I'll change it for 50 minutes. Then sometime I will work out for 3 minutes, like the cardio stuff, for 3 minutes because I fight 3 minutes. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to make sure I do better than the other fighter. Then when it's time to fight, I mean, you could be the stronger fighter in that fight, but hey, believe me, if you're not in shape, buddy, hey, have fun with it, and hey, you about to get it, you know. So you know,
and you know what? That speed advantage typically becomes the same thing with the power advantage. It becomes less pronounced as rounds progress, and everybody gets tired.
Yes, sir. You know, that's how I look at it, and you know. I know, you know what I'm saying? I know I want to put that hard work in. And, you know, I don't want to be that type of like, man, second, third, fourth line, man, I'm gasping, man. What's happening? I want to be like how I first started in the first round. And, you know.
And also, you've also always been known to have a pretty stout chin, too, which would you have to be conditioning. And why would you say some people like yourself have the ability to take a good shot and some people don't? Do you think it's all conditioning? Last week, one of our co-hosts, Dr. said he thinks it's mental. What do you think attribute that to?
Hey, being honest, just like in my career, I've been dropped. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, because one thing, I don't care. Like, for me, it might be different. It might be different for somebody else. But if you're not in shape, Especially like when you get hit like in an 8th round, 7th round in the middle of the fight and you're tired and you get hit and you get dropped, that really tell you if you're in shape. Because if you're not in shape and you're tired and you're like trying to find a way out, then you do get caught. Man, you're not coming back up. It's like you will stay down and you know, that's out there. But yeah, like you have guys that take shots, like, you know what, this me, you know what I'm saying? I don't care. But it's like that's their nature, you know. They're like a typical Mexican fighter, man. They would take shots all day. It's like a mental thing. It's like that's them. It's like that's their nature. Hey, you know what? Hey, I'm gonna take a shot all day. I'm gonna come. But then when you start switching it up, going to the body, it's like a whole different game. So it's not a mental. It's like if you're in shape, you know what I'm saying? But it's, you know, that's my opinion, you know what I'm saying? Then, you know, even like when a guy gets hit with a good shot and go down, yeah, you know, can come back up. You got hit with a good shot, whatever, okay, yeah. But, like, you're still in good shape, but you can't make it, you know? Yeah, we understand that part. But, you know, sometimes you have that part that, man, I'm tired, I got hit, I came right back up, you know? That was me. You know, I got dropped, hey, come back up and win the fight.
Hey, guys, we're joined by
what's your toughest fight? What's your, I should say, your toughest name on your resume?
The toughest one, hey, you know what? I can't say Timothy Bradley. I'll say he wasn't my toughest one, because with Timothy Bradley, it was like, he's not a hard hitter. You know what I'm saying? He like, uh-huh. Timothy Bradley wasn't a hard hitter, but he was like a, you know, like a more amateur style, like if you don't move your hand, like he would work. He would throw his 4-6 flurry punches, and they're not even hard at all. And I can't even remember. I mean, I've been with some hard hitter in the ring, but it depends. Like, I mean, I can't tell who which one's my toughest one. But I've been with quick fighters. I've been with harder fighters, and that's what kind of fighters I've been with. So, you know, I won't say Timothy Bradley was my hard fighter.
Hey guys, we're joined by Dr. Chris Panarella. and he's been listening here at Edner, and you know, Chris himself was a fighter. He's our fighting historian, and I'm sure he's got some questions for you. Chris, go ahead.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey,
last week we forgot to talk about Chavez and Vera.
Uh-huh. Oh, thank God, I thought you were going to say talk about the Eagles.
Man, you know what, man, I've seen that fight, man, you know what. Now, go ahead, I'll let you go ahead and finish, go ahead.
Well,
go ahead,
anyway, just what the gentleman was saying, Chavez was not in condition to go a full hard 12 rounds. He started getting irritable. He was running out of gas. He got whipped the last three rounds. Vera got a chin like solid granite. I thought his neck was going to fly off. A couple of them right-hand shots. And I took a good look at Chavez. This guy is a full-blown light heavyweight. He should be fighting guys his own size instead of always trying to get an edge. Then he runs out of gas late in the round because you just can't do it. Like Repesi said, you can't do that. You know, like the doctor said last week, you know. Why don't he just say, hey, I'm big. He's got a big chest, big shoulders. He's a light heavyweight. What the hell do you want to fight smaller men for? You think he's got an easier day? I don't know. That Vera wasn't a big guy, but he sure pounded him around.
Yeah,
how about those shots he took?
Man, you know what? I took my hat off for Rivera. He was a great fighter. You know what I'm saying? He came in as a smaller fighter because with Chavez, you know, he got the name. He's he's using his dad name because his dad name is, you know, he was the best fighter. Then, you know, they want to change the weight every time because he knew he didn't carry the weight. They want to change the weight up every time. So, hey, if you a big name like that and your father a big name like that, I don't want to fight at this weight, buddy, because Chavez, I think he never comes in shape, but I think if Rivera was the same size, bigger guy, I think he would have beat Chavez. You know what? Being honest, Rivera did beat Chavez. They gave it.
Yep.
They gave it to him.
Gave
it to him.
He's big bone. He's got a big chest. He's a bigger guy. He belongs fighting bigger men. I don't know where he thinks he's got it. One time I fought at 153. I dropped 7 pounds. It was in the summer of training. It was July. It was hot as hell in the gym. We were training 7 days a week. I lost my punch. I lost my strength, and I lost my stamina, just being 4 or 5 pounds lighter than normal. And I said, I'll never do that again. I'll fight guys my size. I'm a middleweight. I'll fight middleweights. I don't want to fight smaller men. You take all the stamina. I knocked this guy down 4 times. He got up 4 times.
Yeah.
I mean, I hit him as hard as I thought. I thought I hit him hard enough to knock him out. He bounced right up off the cat. I lost everything. If you come in too late, it's not good. And so, you know, somebody ought to sit down with Chavez and say, look, here's what we're going to do. You know, Bob Arum, if he wasn't in control of the fight and the promotions, nobody would have given that decision to him.
Yeah.
That was a terrible decision.
Yeah.
But
how much of Chavez's ability to take a good punch is
is garnered in the fact that he typically weighs 15 to 20 pounds heavier than his opponent on fight night? Or do you think the guy just inherited his father's chin?
Well, yeah, Vera Tugging, you see how irritable he got at the end with a referee and was complaining all the time?
Yeah,
that's when a guy's running out of gas and he knows he don't have it. That's how they act.
Yeah.
And that's how he was acting. I said, this guy's beaten. And damn it, he was beaten. Vera come on and knocked him around pretty good. But I swear, that one right hand Chavez hit him with, I thought his neck was going to separate.
Yeah,
and he buckled him, but he came right back, man. Came right back.
I mean, Chavez hit him with a good shot. Being honest, if Chavez fought somebody like Rivera, that tough, but his weight class, his height, they will beat Chavez because
like if he fought Carl Froch,
they'll beat Chavez. Like right now, what they're doing, they're hand picking this fight, which they would think, but like. For this fight, he's supposed to run through this guy, but
yes, he
it's
was.
Like, man, dude, it's like...
Especially at 173, Terry Baum, especially at 173.
He's struggling, but I think if he fight somebody the truly weight class, his size, he will get beat, just like what Martinez did. Martinez would give him his first loss, because if you find somebody who toughened it out of your size, he would like... You have some trouble. Yeah, the record do look good, but it doesn't mean. I mean, it doesn't mean that he fought 40 whatever his record 40 something
exactly.
In the fight. You know what I'm saying?
Is Andy Lee. His best win is Andy Lee to this day.
Yeah, it was a pushover. You know.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him and Andre Ward go at it.
Andre Ward.
Andre Ward teaching a lesson.
That
might happen down the road if Andre Ward's shoulder's okay.
I think Andre Ward would slaughter, but I think Carl Froch would beat the brakes off of him.
Oh yeah. I mean, the only thing, he got a great body punch, you know what I'm saying? He won't body quick. But he's not that fighter that stay busy. I guess he'd be thinking his mom, and if every round I keep on throwing combinations, I'll get tired. I don't want to get tired, but I just want to make sure he gets tired first. Then you know where I can pick my shot and catch him with a good hard one. But then, you know, just like what he was doing with Rivera, he was throwing he just tried to pick his shot, throw one here, throw a hard one here, just, you know. But he was just moving, man. But you know, that's it.
The best junior I saw was when he fought Andy Lee. Andy Lee was outboxing him, but he applied steady pressure, kept ripping to the body, kept upping his punch output. And I was like, wow. He looks like the prototypical, pressure fighting, tough jaw Mexican fighter. And then from that point on, I haven't seen him in shape again. So,
yeah. I mean, it's crazy, man.
What? Hey guys, what ethnic background is Vera? Is he a Polish, Russian? What is he?
Zito, you have any idea? Honestly, when they showed some of his family, they looked like they could have been, Mexican mixed with, Caucasian. And to me, looks somewhat like.
Uh-huh.
Maybe.
I couldn't tell. I didn't know if he was part Polish. I didn't know. Vera, the name Vera, that could be Polish, could be Russian, could be Lithuanian. I'm just wondering, does he come from that part of the world? But I'll tell you what, he's one tough guy.
Well, yeah, he's from Texas. He's a Texan.
Mm-hmm. He's from Texas.
So he's not fighting for Kathy Dew, but he's not Polish.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I don't know.
Wow. I expect that from Dr. Chris, not you, Butch.
Wow. My face is a tough son of a bitch. I said that. I'll tell you what, he got hit with some ungodly punches and it buckled him. It looked like it bent over, like it knocked a tree over. And he come right back. I mean, he didn't go down. I was impressed. And then I'm waiting for my buddy Golovkin. I want to see him fight soon.
Oh, he might
Curtis Stevens. Yeah. I want to see how he does.
Curtis Stevens, he's a pretty good punch, but honestly, I don't give him much of a chance. I just don't think he's a good enough boxer, and I don't think he, I just think he's going to get
beaten up.
That damn Golovkin, he cuts the ring off on you all the time. He's always moving in, moving left to right, side to side, cutting the ring off on you. He makes you fight 10 rounds, 12 rounds. I mean, you're going to be in there for a war. He's some fighter.
Hey, Edner, how do you see Miguel Cotto and Devin Rodriguez going tonight? We haven't even talked about that fight, and that's the main event for HBO tonight.
Yeah, that's tonight up in Orlando. That's, as a matter of fact, that's what, about an hour and 30 minutes from me?
Wow.
Yeah, and if Okoto comes in that, like how he fought Floyd, when he fought Floyd, like put that pressure in and banged up Floyd, I think Okoto will do good, you know what I'm saying? But you know what I'm saying? I love Okoto in that fight. But we know Okoto is not the same Okoto like, you know, when he was young, and you know, after
right.
that beat he had got from Margarito.
Margarito, yeah.
Margarito, you know, from Pacquiao, you know, he's not the same. But Cotto showed good effort when he fought Floyd. Then, like, you know, then after that Floyd fight, you know, Floyd had to, you know, bring his dad back in, and you know, like the punches that he's, you know, try to stand there, try to bang with Floyd, and you know, Floyd showed him, hey, I still got power, I can hit. But I got Floyd. For that fight, you know, the other guy's a good, like, good fighter. You know what I'm saying? He have a good, pretty record, and you know, but if Okoto give, you know, show him his strength, and you know, just try to go back to that old Okoto, and you know, he will pull it out tonight.
You think working with Freddie Roach will rejuvenate Okoto, or do you think that's the right style trainer for Okoto personally?
Yes. Right style, because I think Freddie Roach probably set him down, and you know, bring his strength back, you know, ripping shots, and changes is good, you know, changes is good, believe it or not, because when you change trainers or anything in life, when you change something, it's like, man, you know what, I made the right decision, you know, I'm doing better, I'm working harder. Because you know, when you're with somebody for so long, it's like, you know, you don't really be motivated. It's like, oh, I gotta go to the gym and work out, and you know, I don't really wanna work out. But when you actually
Edner, you're
have
talking about trainers, not marriage, right?
Nah. yeah, you know. So you know, it's, you know, the changes go, you know, going with Freddie Roach, and you know, Freddie Roach is a smart trainer, and you know, and he will do good. You know, I think Freddie Roach will give him good advice tonight in the corner.
Well, Edner, I've been observing some things about Cotto during his career. One thing I have observed is Cotto, when he was a lighter weight, he was flat-footed. He was more committed to his body punching, and he moved up essentially to welterweight.
Uh-huh.
He came a little more on his toes, a little slicker. I think that, and I think a lot of that has to do with his armor and really his punching power, meaning a little less at heavier weights. Do you think Freddie Roach? Cotto, to me, had better defense.
Yeah.
When he got out of that footed style, do you think? You know, Freddie Roach is not known as a defensive coordinator whatsoever. He's all off. Do you think that'll help Cotto? Being that though Cotto at heavier weights doesn't seem to have the best armor.
Yeah, I think it'll be better for him because. You know, when you know the changes that Freddie Roach will probably do, it will probably help him. And you know, like him by moving up. You know what I'm saying? Like when you flat footed, this and that, and you know, since Cotto go over there, there probably it'll be some changes that Freddie Roach might change because for Cotto. Freddie Roach can't say, okay, now we about to change everything. No, they're like the only thing Freddie Roach could do is like, you know, tweak some stuff. That's all Cotto could. That's all Freddie Roach could do, just like tweak some stuff, because because Cotto Ray know how to fight. Cotto Ray know how to box. Cotto know how to punch, rip, or, you know, stand flat foot or whatever. But the only thing now what Fred Roach need to have to do, use his knowledge and wisdom. Okay, we about to tweak some stuff. We about to change some stuff. We about to bring some punching power. We about to make you, you know, where you won't be getting hit too much, where you will be moving around, where you can block punches, whatever. That's all Fred Roach need to do, just tweak some stuff. That's all. You know what I'm saying? Cotto is not a beginner where he has to teach him how to jab, to teach him how to throw a right hand, teach him this. But that's all he has to do, just tweak. That's all. That's it.
I'm gonna say something about Cotto. I think he's a worn fighter. I think he's been through a lot of wars. His face shows it. I mean, he doesn't. He gets the face gets beat up easy anymore. He's slower, much slower than he was. I think he's on the end of his career, and I got a feeling he's going to get a shellacking tonight. Freddie Roach can't revive the dead. You know, when you just can't turn it around. That much.
That's all I can say. He could try to tweak some stuff.
Like you just said, the most Freddie Roach to tweak a few things. Cotto's got one style. He's a shorter fighter. He's always going to fight the same style. He's older. He's moved up in class. He's fighting stronger guys fast. I think he's at the end of his career, guys.
He's not the same Cotto. I'm saying after them two hard fights that he had fought with Margarito and Pacquiao, he's not the same. And for example, remember probably like you've seen this fight. Remember Gaddy, Cyril Gaddy, and when he had trained with what his name is? I forgot his name. He's from Vero Beach, the trainer. I forgot. But
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. But in that fight,
he trained Gaddy for the last. I think next to last Mickey Ward fight, and Gaddy won a big decision. Gaddy outboxed him that night.
From Buddy McGurk.
Buddy McGurk.
I think when he had fought Floyd or somebody, I don't know what fight, but like they kind of changed Gaddy's style. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I was like, what? That's not Gaddy. I mean the type of fighter that Gaddy is, like, yeah, Gaddy boxing now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, what you do? You know, when I say that fight, I was like, no way. But it's like the fighter would love to do is like, you don't take it away from him, but he just tweak it. You know what I'm saying? Is he a fighter? But now you just tweak it. Like, okay, you know what? I want you to put pressure, but I want you to move your head more. I don't want you to get hit. I want you to catch shot and bring it right back, hit him right back. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, just tweak, but don't, okay, now we about to, you know, instead of just, you know, come and put the pressure, now we want you to box. We want you to do this. Like, put your hands down like Floyd, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, what the, you know?
But I also think the question, too, with Cotto, even if he's declining and degraded, has he declined and degraded to a point where a Delvin Rodriguez, who's, you know, always been a fringe contender, never really, you know, been able to step up at the elite level, not fighting bigger guys, fighting guys at his own weight. He's not like Edner giving up 10 guys. He had to step up at welterweight, and he would lose him. He had to step up with Trout at junior middle, and he came up short. So is he the guy at this point in time, with him being 33, after two wars with Pavel Volek, is he the guy who can go ahead and end Cotto? Is he that guy? That's the question. Even with Cotto's declining, you know, abilities, is Delvin Rodriguez good enough to take advantage of that?
And you're right. But, you know, tonight, you know, Delvin got to be smart and, you know, just like what you said, like Cotto's slower, you know, moving, you know, he's moving up in weight and all that, you know what I'm saying? He's like fighting a heavier class. So, you know, Delvin has to do, he's got to be smart because he know, like, probably like in late round that, Cotto will be getting tired. But starting early, he has to start banging Cotto. He got to start banging Cotto. He got to start touching him. You know what I'm saying? But if But if you don't do that, if you don't touch Cotto every round, you know what I'm saying, touch him, he might just say, you know what? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Cotto might knock him out, you know what I'm saying? But if you let Cotto feel comfortable, you know,
agree.
Yeah, but just go ahead and touch him every time. You know, just touch him. You be the big guy, you know what I'm saying? You're the fresher guy, you know what I'm saying? Cotto been in a lot of wars. Every fight that I've seen Cotto been in a lot of wars, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
you know, just take out a bad.
And once you start touching on Cotto, then his game plan completely changes.
Yeah, just go ahead and start touching him and just rough him up, and, you know. But at the same time, but don't stay in there too long to bang, you know what I'm saying? You know, pick your spot, hit him, and just take a little step, you know what I'm saying? Fight him a little circle, you know. You be good.
Stelvin needs to keep him at the end of his punches. He's a lot longer, taller. He needs to keep Cotto at the end of his punches.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, how about the Rios-Pacquiao fight? That's going to be something.
You know what?
My man Rios with an iron chin. I want to see what he does against the fact that he's got a good right hand.
I think
that's going to be a hell of a fight.
I'll tell you
what.
What
do you think?
If Pacquiao doesn't knock Rios out within the span of 12 rounds, then I think Pacquiao might have lost the step.
But this is
we're going to find out.
This is my opinion. I think Pacquiao would knock out. I think Pacquiao would knock him out because he's easy to get hit. And I think Pacquiao is the harder hitter. But now we had to put a butt in it now. But if Pacquiao going to the fight thinking behind his head, hey, I don't want to get knocked out. But then we will see the Pacquiao not punching more, not staying busy. You know, it'd be like just like a Roy Jones and what's the guy who knocked out Roy Jones? Remember when they fought the second time? I think Tarver. You know, Roy Jones, like, for that second fight, like, he was saying, you know what, I don't want to get knocked out, but I just want to survive. So that's it. But probably Pacquiao might come in, hey, I don't want to get knocked out, but I just want to survive. But if Pacquiao go in, put away, you know what I'm saying, from the knockout that he got, I think he will knock out Rios.
I think even though Rios appears to have a pretty good chin, it's not a Margarito chin. And I honestly think that Bob Arum set up that fight because Rios, with his aggressive nature, yet very open, and is able to take a good one or, you know, couple shots. He has the style, honestly, if Pacquiao has it left, to make Pacquiao look really good. If Pacquiao doesn't have it left, Rios has an all-action style to make him a star. That's what this is all about. Pacquiao's either supposed to look really good or Rios is supposed to become a star. But the fact of the matter is Rios has the style for Pacquiao to exploit. Rios, to me, is an aggressive David Diaz, who Pacquiao took out at 135 over six rounds. David Diaz had a pretty stout chin. He was aggressive. I thought he was a little tighter defensively at that time than Brandon Rios, but it's a similar type of fight. Brandon Rios has neither the foot speed nor the head movement to truly compete with Pacquiao if he still is Pacquiao.
Or the hand speed.
Yeah. So that's why I said,
or
man,
the power. Brandon Rios is a chop-em-down guy. Mike Alvarado, if you watch their fight, Mike Alvarado, who's not a big knockout puncher, but in spots, he was hitting Rios much harder than Rios hit him. Rios had the volume, but Rios doesn't sit down on any one punch because he just lets him go. That doesn't work against Pacquiao, typically. That's tailor-made to Pacquiao. You're essentially walking into a fan. So that's what I see happening unless, again, Pacquiao has declined to that level.
Uh-huh, yeah.
We'll find out what Rios is. He's comparatively young. He's had one or two tough fights. That's all, really. He's fresh. I don't know what Pacquiao's got left. You know, his attitude might have changed. Arum dumped him. Now Arum's in the other corner now. I can tell you one thing. If it goes 12 rounds, I know who's losing. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be Arum Slater. I don't care what he has to do. He'll Pacquiao will get a losing. He'll never get the decision if it goes 12 rounds.
Yeah.
Not with Aram in there handling things. So,
to me, this fight honestly comes down to what Pacquiao has left. If Pacquiao has Pacquiao left, then this fight is a pay-per-view mismatch to me, akin to, you know, Floyd Mayweather and Arturo Gatti, who we just talked about. Just because style-wise, he has the style that's all wrong for Pacquiao, if Pacquiao is a fresh fighter still.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the question. That's the question.
Yeah. But
when's Klitschko fight? Is that coming up soon, that fight?
I think it's this week.
Klitschko just fought. He just fought today at 3:30.
Yeah.
Dr. Chris, the fight's on one of the HBO channels right now. They're replaying the fight right now on HBO.
I'm going to watch it. I want to see it.
Yeah, please see it so we can discuss it next week. It's going to be pretty entertaining to hear what you got to say.
Let me tell you something. What y'all think about Stevenson? That a new what? Light heavyweight? He's coming up to Canada. What y'all think of him? I mean, he just beat Travis Cloud. Man, I think that fight, Bernard Hopkins and some of these light heavyweight need to avoid him. Because this dude can hit him.
I see some weaknesses in Stevens' game. One thing that's a problem, and I do concur with you about avoiding him, is he can box and he has power. And that can be a deadly combination for almost anyone who steps into the ring with him.
You know, I'm going to tell you what's even scarier about Adonis is his learning curve. Adonis picked up the sport late, spent a lot of time in jail. Adonis, we say now, Adonis can box. We would not have said that before the Tavoris Cloud fight at all. We would have said this is a guy who has fast hands and good power, but his chin is deadable because he's been stopped before. But, you know, that's what we say about this guy. Now, everybody after this Tavoris Cloud fight is saying, oh, he can box too. This guy is learning from Sugar Hill, who learned at the feet of Emmanuel Stewart. And Emmanuel Stewart always said this kid had what it takes to be champion. So even at 36, kind of like a Tony Thompson was at that age, he's still very much learning. So this kid is actually getting better. To me, the jury's still out. What happens if he has a guy like an Edna Cherry, his weight in front of him, who can take that first shot, dip under, and keep applying pressure and touch on him? Tavoris Cloud, and I honestly thought Tavoris would be that guy. I thought Tavoris was going to beat him. He beat the brakes off Tavoris. But Tavoris was never able to touch him. Tavoris' footwork wasn't good enough. He wasn't quick enough to cut off the ring. I like Tavoris, but he hasn't proven to be a cerebral boxer in the ring. He doesn't know how to cut the ring off. He just followed Adonis around and took a beating. What happens if he gets an Edna Cherry style in his face who knows how to cut the ring off and knows how to apply pressure? That's what I need to see to see if he's really as good as he appears to be at right now.
Yeah. I think what happened, I think that night Stevenson like took him out of the game plan, because when I saw Stevenson like for some reason he changed up that night, like Stevenson was like the one like stand up. Hey, he would throw a hard shot and catch you, whatever. But for some reason, that night he was boxing. Then he took Tavoris Cloud off his game plan. So now Tavoris tried to hit him, try to throw his hard shot. He's like, whoops, I'm not here. I'm over here. You know what I'm saying? So he just took Tavoris off his game plan. Then after that, then he would make a miss. Then Tavoris was so, like, confused, like, waiting. Like, man, if I throw a punch, he'll move. Then by him waiting, then Stevenson just, like, start hitting him. Like, man, you know? You know, then, like, when it's time for Tavoris to come back, it's like he's gone, or like he's putting his shoulder, or you know, like he fight in a circle. Tavoris was all confused. But I think they wasn't prepared for that. Just like me, being honest, like when I fought Paulie Malignaggi, I've seen the fight with him and Cotto, when he stood there, then they went at it, they bang it out, whatever, right? That's okay. So that was the fight I was looking at. That was, you know, so I was picturing that fight. I said, okay, that night he would be right there in front of me. Man, that night, man, the only thing he did, run, hold. I'm like, what the? But my mind was, okay, he will stand there and fight me. But it was like, He will hit me, run, hold. Then it's like, it took me on my game plan. Like, okay, man, I need to, by the time I try to get off, it's like he's gone already. You know what I'm saying? So then
you know what happened, Edner? Just like you watched the Cotto fight and said, oh, man, he couldn't even bang in front of Cotto. Paulie Malignaggi felt the Cotto fight and said, damn, I couldn't bang in front of Cotto. I will not do that with Edner Cherry.
Yeah,
I'm not doing that anymore.
Because in that Paulie Malignaggi fight, but in the last round, then that's when I won't try to do everything. It was too late by then. It was too late in the 10th round. Like, what? Are you for real? If I had did what I did in the 10th round, in the first, second, third, fourth, whatever round, I think it would have been a good fight. I think I would have stopped him, but I did in the last round. It was too late. I was like, oh, man. And then in that fight, I didn't break a sweat. I was tired. I was like, man, what? Then, you know what? After that fight, I was mad at myself. I was like, are you for real, Edna? Look what you just did. You gave this fight away. It was in a fight that was threatened. It wasn't a fight that it was hard. It wasn't a fight that you know what I'm saying, like it would be a, like both of y'all be banging. He just, you know what I'm saying, I was mad at myself after that fight. I was like, oh man.
Is one of the gifts of Paulie the fact that because he doesn't have much power, but he has pretty good speed, but he doesn't commit to anything. Is he the kind of guy, because you're never getting beat up at all, is he the kind of guy you kind of can almost lull on and say, all right, let me just, I'm just going to catch this guy eventually. He's just running around me. He's not doing anything to me. Yeah. And next thing you know, you're down 6 or 7 rounds.
Yeah. That's what happened.
Yeah, he poor Paul, he got no punch. That's like hunting lions with a BB gun. I mean, you know, you're not going to be successful. You got to figure out another way to knock him. I mean, the poor guy doesn't have any power, but he's a Willie Pep style fighter. You know, he moves all around. He's got you off balance all the time. Takes advantage of his hand speed, and he takes a decent shot too.
He takes a good shot.
Yeah,
too. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does.
And you know, he's tough as nails too, man. He's tough as nails. He fought Cotto with broken orbital bones.
Yeah. No, I mean, Paulie, it's a shame. It's a shame. He'll never be a puncher, and it's awful tough to go in that ring with any confidence when you know you can't hit.
Yeah.
I don't know how he does it. Those guys are always great boxers that just got by on boxing alone, and always amaze me.
Yeah,
and
you know what?
I was
watching the Adrian Broner fight. I mean, Paulie was ripping punches, and it was just nothing coming out of the gun as far as time.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never seen somebody rip to the body so much and nothing happened. I mean, the punches had, it's not that they didn't have effect on Broner, but it's amazing to see someone try so hard and punch so soft.
Yeah.
Hey, Ty, before Dr. Chris came on, you had a question you wanted to ask him.
Oh, Dr. Chris. You know, we were talking about it's not a recent rash. It's been pretty consistent over the course of boxing history. But the recent rash in pretty high-profile fights of bad decisions, bad judges, rendering of judges' decisions. It seems like after fights like this are made and bad decisions like this are rendered, there's always a polling of the ringside press. And 100% the ringside press typically agrees with the typical observer fan. If we believe Vera won the fight over Chavez, you know, the typical ringside press poll always reveals that basically 98% of those guys also agreed that Vera beat Chavez. The question I want to ask is, why did they go away from press decisions to judges?
That's hard. That's hard. Yeah, the refs always, they have a better look at things. They can see punches. You know, one judge, the fighter's back is to one judge. Sometimes the both of them, only one judge can see. The ref has a better chance.
Not the ref decision. Remember when in the 20s it used to be the press who would render the decision on a fight?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got a bounce back on my cell phone.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Associated Press used to rule. That's
exactly.
When it was a more honest sport.
Why did they go away from that?
I think because the managers and the promoters wanted more control of the fights. They didn't want them to be honest.
Any fighter will tell you that, the old-timers. They wanted control. They didn't want to give up. You know, when the mob took over boxing in the 40s and the 50s, they wanted control. And they were a pretty hard outfit to deal with. And all that went away, where the Associated Press used to give a decision and blah, blah, blah. That just died out. Why they did it, I think the promoters wanted control. Money was a big factor, you know. And I think that's why they just said, hey, we'll have our own judges. And remember the referees used to render decisions?
Yes.
They took that power away from the refs. They used to have a point system. When Sugar Ray used to fight, they had points, number of rounds, and then points per round, and they had so there would be no draws. It's changed over the years, and I think the promoters and the managers want control. They don't want the press, you know, in there.
Essentially, you believe it's changed to allow for the corruption that we see week in and week out.
You're right. Exactly. There was so much money to be made in television with the Friday night fights. Then they had Wednesday night. Then they had Monday night fights from Eastern Parkway Arena. And they could hide fighters. They could bring fighters along. They didn't want them to have a loss. They want them to come in up 20-0, and the Associated Press, if they're rendering decisions, they don't feel the same way. They're not promoting this guy. They don't have any money invested in him. They're going to give you a true decision, and they don't want that. They didn't want it. It was controlled. Frankie Carbo controlled boxing, and Blinky Palermo controlled it in Philly. And whatever they want, they got. And then, you know, Blinky went to jail, and Carbo died, and the entire picture changed. And you got guys like Bob Arum in there who's tough, man. He's not going to lose any money. He's not going to let any Associated Press, decide on his fighters. And there were guys like that came along, and they changed the game. They just changed the game. I know when Joey Girardello beat Reuben Carter, the Associated Press had a 10-5 and 9-6. None of them gave the fight to Carter. But like you say, when they would announce the fight the next day in the paper, they would give you the three decisions of the Associated Press and so forth. But then they went to judges, and they could control the judges. You know? Look at Jose Suleiman. Look at these. Everybody, the WBA, the WBC, they want their own, they have their own ratings. The ratings are improper. It used to be that the only ratings that existed were Ring Magazine. Now they got, everybody's got their own rating. But, you're rated by the WBA, you're rated by the WBC. It's all different now because it's all a matter of control, because there's never been more money in boxing than there is today. It's unbelievable how much money is in the sport today. So, money corrupts everything. I hate to say that, but it does. Money changes everything.
Yeah, it does.
It's just a reality thing, Boxing prior to television was an entirely different sport than it is today, prior to the 40s. The first time I ever saw a fight on TV was about 48. Mike Williams knocked out Bojack, and then after that the whole sport changed. TV come in and everybody got into the act, and the mob got in, and it became a corrupt sport. Unfortunately, you still see it today. You saw it last week.
Yeah.
Now we all know Vera won that fight. But,
yeah, that's the
first question. And no fight has ever been overturned either. Joey Girardello and Frankie Howard Green, I think his name was. They reversed that, and then in court, 6 months later, reversed it back. I was telling Davey Tabiri when he thought that fight was going to be reversed with his fight. I said, it's not going to happen. Yeah, it's not going to happen, Dave. Oh, yeah, Senator Roth will get it. Nope, won't happen. I'm telling you, it won't happen. Take this fight, take the money, and if you don't like the sport and you don't want to deal with it with what's in it, then, you know, take the $500,000 and go. And he said, no, they're going to get me the title. Roth's going to get, you know, Senator Roth's going to get me the title. They're going to have a boxing commission, and they're going to start pension funds. And they're going to, I said, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. And it didn't. And Davey never fought again. So, but he's a good businessman, so he's made it well. He's done well for himself in spite of everything else. He's a good kid, a good businessman. People like him. He's a very popular person in Delaware. And he's making a good living. You know, so. But, you know, like I say, once money got in, once money, big money got into boxing, it changed it. I mean, you know, you had NFL games and baseball games used to be thrown. The money corrupted some of the baseball players.
Right.
I'm talking earlier, and even later on, I swear, they threw games. And they, you know, you remember the Johnny Sample incident?
Yeah.
You know, just to shave a point. You didn't have to throw a game, but fall down on a thing and change the point spread, and I give you a couple hundred grand. And hey, you know, hey, I'm not ruining, I'm not changing, I'm not hurting my teammates. I just, instead of the score being 30-7, it'll be 30-14, and I'll beat the spread. And then, you know, they got a handle on that. That ended quick. Basketball, same way. Basketball had its corruption. You know, you constantly fight it. You know, you like to see a good, honest thing, but, you know, hard to do. Hard to find. Well, guys, I'm going to run now. My wife's motioning to me. We're going to go over to the club and have something to eat. All right,
okay,
guys,
thanks
take care
much,
yourself.
Chris.
I
appreciate your time.
I'm going to try to watch that Klitschko fight in the first second if it's still on.
You know what? Just watch
it
tonight with the Kodo telecast, Dr. Chris. It'll replay tonight with the Kodo telecast.
Yeah. Oh, then I'll watch it then. I won't spoil. Don't tell me who won. All
no, I will not.
I'll see you guys. All right, bye. All right,
thanks, Chris. Clayton, we really appreciate you taking all this time away from your family on a Saturday night, and we wish everybody all the health and wealth, and it can be fit on your plate. I can't get these teeth to work right tonight. But again, we appreciate your time, and anytime you want to come back on, you're always welcome on this program.
Yes, sir.
You've got a good time.
Yeah, Evan, thank you so much for coming on, especially so soon. And more importantly, we're glad that everyone is healthy and well.
Yeah, yes, sir. You say hello to Elizabeth for us, and there is something coming your way.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Thank you very much for having me on tonight, and I really appreciate it. Hey, Frank, man, we need to try to get together, you know what I'm saying, with my family, come over where you at, and, you know, just have a cookout, just sit down, just have a good time, that's all.
Yeah, we're
just
an hour down the road there, actually 45 minutes down the road.
Yeah, so, you know,
I'll get with you later on in the week, and we'll get a chance to talk about that.
Okay, yes, sir.
It's going to have to be after football season for both of us.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, that'll be the best because it seems like every Saturday is like a game.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, we're through to the 19th.
Yeah, so whenever the last game, I think it's around October, November, somewhere around now.
October 19th should be the last game.
Okay, so when it's the last.
So we'll get together between now and then, or after
that. Okay.
Good.
Yeah, yes, sir.
All right, thank you, Edner.
All right.
Guy, looks like Z's falling off here, so you want to lead us out?
I just want to definitely thank Edner and Dr. Chris for coming on with us. You know, everybody's been a great show. We see everyone next week, and Bob is our co-pilot.
Hey, I want to thank Dr. Chris as always. He always adds something new to the program. Edner, a good friend, a good boxer, and a good person. And it's always good to talk to him. Ty and Z, I couldn't do this week after week without you guys, and I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night, seven nights a week, on grateful appreciation of men and women police and fire services, men and women United States Armed Forces. When you're out there and you see someone in a uniform, please just say thank you. It means the world to the guys, and you'll see a smile come on their face.
Yeah.
These programs are also dedicated to fallen officers, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffy Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Onofo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, the Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogel, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Uniform Division, Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Tree, Philadelphia Fire Department, Captain Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Don Collier, and Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields. The sun shine on your face. Until we meet again, may the Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hands. Good night.
Shemalek ma'yelama Shemahezahil ma Suna shene vorat fet Hakuig gen ma'yel ma
Shemalek ma'yelama
Spare a time.
County Dispatch, the 1999. County Dispatch, 99. All units be advised, 1999. Now pass. May God bless.
Thank you.